This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Transportation meeting to order. First of all, I just turned the internet on, so we want to greet our internet listeners this morning, if there is any. Hopefully they're listening to the esteemed House Committee that will be sharing House Bill 1023 and House Bill 1024 with them. Welcome to all of you in the audience. I believe we have some guests here, and I want to make sure that we recognize first our pages. Lindsay is from Hartford, and Brittany is from Wacook-Salem. Please stand. They'll be, if you need anything, committee members, Lindsay and Brittany will be able to help you. And then second of all, I believe we have a great bunch of guests here, the Baltic Senior Government classes here. Would you guys please stand and be recognized? We're glad that you're here, and hopefully you guys will be interested in the political arena someday by running for school board or city council or state legislative body. Reminder of all of you in the audience, please do turn off your cell phones. And at this time, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Elliott, here. Ironclad, Kopp,
here.
Lang,
here.
McLaughlin,
here.
Nordstrom,
here.
Russell,
here.
Shrimp,
here.
Steele,
here.
Street,
here.
Vercio,
here.
Junkie,
here.
And Krebs.
Here. We have a quorum present. At this time, the first item of business will be approval of the Thursday meeting minutes. Are there any changes or corrections at this time?
So moved approval.
So moved by Vice Chair Representative Junkie, seconded by Steele, Representative Steele. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay. Approval minutes have been passed. At this time, we'll remind anybody that is testifying today to sign in at the back podium. And if you do have any handouts, we'll make sure to have them distributed by the pages. And last but not least, address any questions to the committee chair. We'll move right into the second item of business on the agenda. We'll be reviewing and listening and hearing the testimony on House Bill 1023 following, and then House Bill 1024. At this time, we'll take testimony and proponents for House Bill 1023.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, good morning. My name is Bill Nevin. I'm with the Department of Transportation. House Bill 1023 is an act to authorize the Department of Transportation Secretary to create limited speed zones through highway work areas under certain conditions. Currently, SDCL 3225.19.1 allows the Department of Secretary, or allows the Department Secretary, if the Secretary of the Department of Public Safety and the Highway Patrol agree that it's necessary for safety reasons, to establish a limited speed zone in a highway work area by posting limited speed zone signs at the beginning and end of the work area. This statute was originally enacted in 1981, and at that time it gave the department secretary the authority, after consulting with the Secretary of Commerce at that time, the Highway Patrol, and the director of the Division of Highways. If they all agreed that it was necessary for safety reasons, the department secretary could establish this limited speed zone in an area of construction or reconstruction of the state trunk system. That statute was then amended twice by the 1995 legislature. The first amendment, Session Laws 1995, Chapter 184, amended the language to apply to highway work areas rather than areas of construction or reconstruction. And really the effect of that change was to allow the posting of a limited speed zone during a maintenance project that required a reduction of speed in order to safely conduct the work, rather than just reconstruction or construction. That amendment also eliminated from those whose consultation was needed to create the limited speed zone the director of the Division of Highways. And that was done because of an executive reorganization. That position of director of highways no longer existed at that time. So that was the first amendment in 1995. The second amendment in 1995 was Session Laws 95, Chapter 185. And that bill amended the statute to require that the signs posting showing the limited speed zone be posted at the beginning and end of the immediate work area, and that the signs shall be posted only during the hours work is actually being performed. As I have heard, I guess I didn't start at DOT until about a month after that legislative session, but there was concern among legislators at that time about the length of construction zones being coned off on the highway, even though work actually wasn't being performed during certain hours. As a result, this amendment was enacted. Unfortunately, a probably unintended effect of this was that the statute now excluded authority to establish a limited speed zone in highway construction areas where traffic safety absolutely demands a lower speed. And I'll give you just an example. Commonly, you're all going to be familiar, there's a need to have traffic moving at a reduced speed through or around a construction area, and to maintain that traffic flow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until that construction project has been completed and the newly constructed highway section reopened. A good example of this is when we close down, say, the eastbound lanes of a section of interstate highway, and we have to route traffic head-to-head on the westbound lanes until such time as those eastbound lanes are completed and can be reopened. We need to slow that head-to-head traffic down on the interstate below 75 miles an hour. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And in fact, we have been doing that by posting the limited speed zone signs. The problem is we don't have any legal authority to do that right now under SDCL 3225.19.1, because that head-to-head traffic on the interstate has to be maintained at night and on holidays and weekends 24 hours a day. And work isn't actually being performed during those periods of time. So this statute provides no authority for us to do that. And obviously there's a real exist. It's really a gap in the law that was created in part by the passage of that second amendment in 1995. Again, there would also be a question of whether if you have to detour traffic around a construction area, there would be a question under the existing law of whether or not that was the immediate work area. So as you can see, there's an area here that we need to have the legal authority to reduce that speed, and that's what this bill proposes to do. The only other way to create a limited speed zone under existing law in South Dakota is through enactment of an administrative rule, which is neither timely nor practical, as you might understand. The process for enacting an administrative rule from the date it's initially drafted until the time after filing with the Secretary of State it becomes effective is probably in the neighborhood of 3 months or so, sometimes longer. It could be slightly shorter. So that's not a very practical way to be able to address this. At the same time, it might be, I'll go on. So the administrative rule process really isn't a very practical or timely method of serving the need that we have here to do this. This bill would create a new subsection under Chapter 3225, which is the chapter on speed regulation, that would allow the department secretary to establish a limited speed zone by posting on a section of state highway, posting signs, if the work being performed necessitated maintaining head-to-head traffic through or around a construction area. And again, the example of the interstate lane closure is a perfect example of when this would be necessary. The Secretary of the Department of Public Safety and Highway Patrol have to agree that the limited speed zone is necessary for safety, just as in the existing statute. And the duration of the limited speed zone would be for that period of time when the highway work being performed necessitates having that traffic control measure, that is the head-to-head traffic. With that, Madam Chair, I would request this committee's favorable consideration, and I will stand by for any questions that any member might have.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And at this time, I'm going to probably take further, just let me clarify, further proponents, and then we'll go into committee questions and discussion at this time. I'm going to ask for further proponents to House Bill 1023.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Pat Fay with the Department of Public Safety. And we are here to speak in support of House Bill 1023. We think it's good legislation. There is, as Mr. Nevin described, there is a gap there that we don't have covered, with the exception of a rulemaking process, which, as you're aware of, does take some time to get through. One of the things I'd like to bring to your attention is, in the past 3 years, we have had 703 work zone-related crashes in South Dakota. Of those 703 crashes, 330 resulted in injury, and we've had 5 fatalities just in the work zone. So there's definitely a need for this legislation. I won't repeat everything Mr. Nevin said about why we need it in the work zone areas that are not where people are actually present. There are several areas where maybe the road width is reduced or shoulder work is being performed or we have head-to-head traffic, and there is a definite need to reduce the speeds in those areas and a process which can expedite that whole action taking place. So I thank you for your time and support of this bill.
Thank you, Pat. Are there any further proponents to House Bill 1023? Further proponents to House Bill 1023? Representative Hoffman, do you have any comments on House Bill 1023? Further proponents, last call, House Bill 1023. At this time, we'll move to our committee call of any opponents to House Bill 1023. Any opponents to House Bill 1023? Any opponents to House Bill 1023? Committee, then we'll move into committee questions and discussion at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because of the students here, I thought it would be appropriate to make this a teaching moment. This is sometimes called a cleanup bill, not to suggest that we pass dirty legislation at any time, but with no opponents, you're liable to see this on the consent calendar, not worth even debating on the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lang, for your lesson. That's true. We always like to share an enlightening moment for the Baltic High School. Are there any further committee questions or discussions on House Bill 1023? This time we'll move into committee action.
Chair, move consent.
At this time we have to
do pass.
There you go. Thank you. We need a committee action. We need first to have action of Representative Lang has a motion on the floor for House Bill 1023 of a do pass. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Street. House Bill 1023 has had a committee proposal of a do pass with a second. Are there any further comments or questions? Secretary will call the roll on House Bill 1023.
Elliott.
Here. Yes.
Ironclad.
Yes.
Kopp.
Yes.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp. Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Vercio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1023 passes 13-0.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lang. Are there further action?
Move consent.
Representative Lang moves to consent, which means there will be no debate on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
By Representative Street. House Bill 1023 has been moved to Street. I'm looking at Street over there, and there's Steele. Representative Steele seconded. House Bill 1023 has been moved to a consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1023 goes on the consent calendar. Actually, we can assign now. I'll have Representative Junkie, our vice chair, take House Bill 1023 on the floor. All right, moving on. House Bill 1024 has been posted to hear. We'll take action, or excuse me, we'll take proponent testimony for House Bill 1024.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. Madam Chair, I do have a handout for members of the committee, if that would be all right. What I'm passing out, Madam Chair, is a page with photographs on either side showing damage to state highway right-of-way caused by the operation of off-road vehicles. SDCL 322212 allows off-road vehicles to operate on state in-state highway ditches as long as they do so as near as possible to the outside edge of the right-of-way. Unfortunately, that's not always the case with some users, and they are often operated on the slopes or in the middle of the ditch. This can and has resulted in damage to highway right-of-way. Highway 15 north of Sioux Falls, Highway 11 south of Sioux Falls, certain highways in Paynton County, Highway 12 east of Aberdeen, and certain highways in the Madison area are a few examples of where damage has occurred. We commonly receive complaints from people about damage being caused to state highway ditches through the operation of recreational use of off-road vehicles. We receive complaints about operators using approaches as jumps, which can result in damage to those driveways and other approaches. We see puddled water of very wet areas being used by ORVs for muddling recreation, and I'm told that's essentially driving your ORV through the middle of that mud puddle, resulting in significant erosion and having a negative effect on stormwater runoff. When repeatedly run in certain sections, they damage vegetation that protects against erosion and facilitates stormwater runoff, and that vegetation that might otherwise be used as well for haying operations. Present law, SDCL 31327, does prohibit removing, destroying, or otherwise altering the grade of a highway, or otherwise injuring the highway in any manner. And of course, the ditches are part of the highway by definition in South Dakota. The highway right-of-way is right-of-way line to right-of-way line. The problem with this, and the statute also provides for the collection of a civil penalty against the violator for the damage that was caused. The problem is it's virtually impossible to prove that a certain operator caused certain specific damage at a certain time. Virtually impossible from either a law enforcement or a standard of, or burden of proof aspect to enforce that. So because damage is caused cumulatively, in terms of collecting the costs to fix the damage, that statute is completely ineffective in protecting the significant investment we have in our highway right-of-way. This bill would allow the Department of Transportation to close certain ditch sections that are being damaged, thereby reducing our maintenance costs and improving the integrity of the ditch as a drainage structure. This is the same authority that was given to county governments in 2006 by this body. The bill would allow the department secretary to act without needing to formally promulgate an administrative rule. We think that proceeding in this manner is really a proper limited approach to addressing a specific problem in a timely and effective way without trying to create a widespread prohibition. We understand the interests of recreational and other private users. We simply need the authority to close a particular section of ditch of whatever length as soon as we see a problem occurring, and then only until the problem has been addressed and no longer exists. Again, administrative rules take 3 or more months to become effective. It also would create, you know, some difficulty and specifying in the rule the beginning and end of the ditch section that you want signed, posted off, so to prohibit off-road vehicle operation. And so it's neither practical nor timely to use the administrative rule process to accomplish this. I would also note, in finally, Madam Chair, that this change was recommended by the Off-Highway Vehicle Legislative Task Force in 2007. And again, I would request the committee's favorable consideration and would stand by for any questions.
For the proponents to House Bill 1024. Further proponents to House Bill 1024. Further proponents to House Bill 1024. We move to the opponent testimony of House Bill 1024. Anybody with a four-wheeler that opposes this bill? House Bill 1024, any proponent, or opponents? We'll move to committee action and questions, we'll further move to questions and discussion of House Bill 1024. Okay. Representative Junkie.
Thank you. Bill, could you come back? Signage, how will it be handled when, typically a right-of-way that's being damaged is, how will you sign it on either end, and what kind of conspicuous sign will it be?
And I don't know if they've been developed, but I'm assuming there would be a conspicuous sign, easily visible to an operator, at the beginning of the ditch section and the end of the ditch section, as well as at where any intersecting roads might exist. That would, and I don't know exactly what the language would say, but something to the effect that off-road vehicle operation is prohibited.
Follow up, Representative Jackie?
This, and I don't think this would happen, because it's more than likely livestock will not be moved in these kind of heavy. Would this, if say I have somebody in my district, you sign a right-of-way with a conspicuous sign, and we move cattle through there, and you ride a four-wheeler through there, in essence, you're breaking the law, correct?
Actually, Representative Junkie, that wouldn't be correct. Under the existing statute that we're amending, 3220.12.1, it provides that this section does not affect off-road vehicles used in normal agricultural operation or service vehicles of any utility while in the line of duty for the utility. And this bill would not change that, so that would remain the law.
Further questions or discussion for House Bill 1024? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On these signs, you were saying that you're going to put them up, and if situation changes, you're going to take them back down. And this seems rather strange that you're going to be putting them up, taking them down, putting them up, taking them down. It seems to me it could create a problem by having to do so. That's the first question.
Well, Representative Steele, I'm assuming the signs would be put up when we see damages occurring, and would remain until such time as there was no longer a need to disallow off-road use in that ditch. Now, that may be a relatively long period of time. It may be a relatively short period of time. I don't know that from an operational standpoint it poses any great difficulty for our maintenance crews to do that.
Okay. It won't happen that often then.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Follow-up question?
Representative Steele.
One different. I see that on this picture we have a stop sign here. Did you folks put that up, or where did that stop sign come from?
Madam Chair, Representative Steele, I haven't got a clue.
Okay. Maybe the farmer got there. Okay.
Sure. I believe this is a snowbill trail sign. It's a smaller sign, so it's a snowbill sign.
That may well be.
And so I'm assuming that the off-road and off-highway vehicles have been using the same trail for that.
That commonly occurs.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative McLaughlin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does this pertain to all roads or county roads, state roads, interstates?
The counties currently have the authority to post a prohibition against off-road vehicle use in county ditches on any section of highway under their jurisdiction. We're now adding authority for DOT to do so on highways under DOT's jurisdiction.
Clarification, state DOT.
Yes, state DOT, yes.
Madam Chair.
Representative Elliott.
Mr. Nevin, are there lots of areas involved in this? Could you tell us how many areas are affected by this?
Representative Elliott, I offhand don't know how many areas are affected, although I can tell you quite honestly that it's a common complaint that I hear from our field representatives. They say, you know, geez, they're really tearing it up down here, and that's not at all uncommon. I did give examples in my remarks of three or four areas at least, and there are undoubtedly others.
Any further questions from the committee? Bill, I do have a question for you. Will you be notifying, say a constituent comes forward or a landowner comes forward and makes that complaint, do you make that determination to close that section of highway based on their complaint or your maintenance crew's decision?
When we would receive a complaint, I'm sure we would have folks go out and make their own assessment of the situation and determine whether some action was necessary or not to protect the integrity of the highway section.
And this is for clarification of our constituents maybe listening or here today, that if they did have a complaint, who would they go to? I mean, obviously, we have the Department of Transportation. Would they call the State Department of Transportation to make that complaint and then address from there?
We have 12 area offices, and they could do it any way they wanted to. Whoever they can get a hold of at DOT, either at the statewide office, at one of our four region offices, or at one of the 12 area offices, the information would go where it needs to get.
Thank you, Bill. Any other further questions or comments? Representative Lustin, Lust, I don't know where that came from. Representative Russell. And then I was going over to Cap.
You had mentioned earlier that there is a provision existing in statute that has to do with the deterioration of the roadway or any damages caused. My question is that a Class 2 misdemeanor?
It is.
Yeah, I have, in 8 years as state's attorney, for two different counties, I've never even exercised or had any request to exercise that specific statute. I'm not aware of any problems that are occurring in my area in this regard. And frankly, if I've had a lot of these kind of cases where someone goes in the mud and rips everything up, and they're noticed by someone normally. And then I've had prosecutions, but it's usually on section lines or something of that nature, but I've never had one in a road ditch that has to do with a state or federal highway. So I'm kind of concerned about, one, the need, two, from the standpoint of proof, I don't think that they're, you know, if somebody's out mudding along a federal or a state highway where there's quite a bit of traffic, from my experience, it's they do it over and over and over again. And at some point, they will get caught. So I have a little bit of a problem from a due process standpoint of giving the authority to the department head to, by decree, just section off a whole, you know, stretch of road. Because I just have not seen the problem from my standpoint in almost a decade as a state's attorney. So thank you.
Any comment?
Well, if I might, Madam Chair. Representative Russell, I don't know whether there are specific areas in Fall River County that have been adversely affected by the operation. I'm not at all surprised that you haven't had a citation land on your desk for prosecution. Again, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, number one, for law enforcement, since it's a Class 2 misdemeanor, it has to occur in their presence. And number two, to be able to identify a particular individual as causing particular damage is also extremely problematic. So that may or may not enter into why you haven't had any, been given notice of any problem in your areas.
And I would only follow up and say that from the standpoint of enforcement, it wouldn't be any different than any other statute wherein you wouldn't actually have to have law enforcement see it, but any individual that sees it at any time of the day or night can report it, and then every once in a while you would have some identification problem. But from the standpoint of normally these folks are the same people doing it over and over again, like I said before. And so I don't know, it just seems to me that the department might be a little bit of an overkill from the standpoint that, one, I've never had this type of a complaint off of a federal or state highway that are relatively well traveled, nor has anyone ever made such a complaint. But to give the Secretary of the Department of Transportation the authority to just close down this to any stretch of highway, I think is a little bit of overkill on the part of the department. There are certain due process rights that we all have, and I understand that you're trying to remedy a problem, but I just am concerned that maybe we're shooting that fly with a cannon in this particular circumstance. Thank you.
Any further committee discussion on House Bill 1024?
Madam Chair.
Representative Shrimp.
I talked to Bill about this earlier, and first of all, I didn't have no problems with it. But the more I look at this, how would you place your signs up? If you'd have a sign up, something like this stop sign, and you say we can use it, I've got maybe one approach in a mile, and if there's just a sign sitting there, I mean, that wouldn't last very long with the machinery nowadays to go through there. How would you put up a sign to stop people from going through there, but you said we're allowed to go through as a landowner? How would you address that?
Bill?
Madam Chair, there's only so much we can do. Obviously, we don't have the manpower, neither does law enforcement, to station someone out there and monitor off-road vehicle use. The only practical way to try to do that is to post signs, regulatory signs in the appropriate location, putting people on notice that certain activity is prohibited in that section of the ditch. Now, whether or not those signs would be subject to being damaged or taken out or not lasting very long, that's all entirely possible. That's all entirely possible. However, again, from a practical standpoint, short of posting someone out there or cameras, again, not very practical, very costly, there really isn't any other way to try to go about doing it that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Bill. Any further committee discussion questions? Representative Kopp.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, on these areas that are damaged, is there any plans to try to rehabilitate them if they're really damaged bad, like going in and reseeding or putting up straw dikes, things like that?
Madam Chair, Representative Kopp, I would need to speak with our folks in the field to find out exactly what they do, but yes, I believe that they would, where the damage was severe enough, go in and in the spring reseed it. There may even be some minor regrading that is necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill, we're talking, obviously, in statute there's a differentiation between snowmobiles and off-road vehicles. This is obviously a snowmobile trail, and we're not going to be affecting their ability to use the road right away, are we?
That's correct, Representative Junkie.
Any further questions or discussion on House Bill 1024? Representative Ironclad.
Thank you, Chair. How are you going to, your public relations, how are you going to talk with the public? Are you going to work with them to let them know that this is happening and you like their support?
Madam Chair, that's a very good question, Representative Ironclad. I believe there would be some public information disseminated through the area offices. This would likely be administered on an area-wide basis among the department, our organization. The identification of a problem area and the posting of that problem area, I'm guessing would likely be under the jurisdiction of the local area office, and there's 12 of them in South Dakota. I would anticipate that that area office, through either local officials or local media, would provide information concerning that closure to the public. That could easily be done.
Any further questions or comments, questions or discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
I'd Representative
like that. Thank you. Do you think that there might be a problem with a law like this and then becoming a frivolous thing? I mean, that, you know, you post signs, but since nobody's getting caught doing it, they're not going to pay any attention to that or the law.
Representatives, that's really an enforcement issue, I guess, an enforcement question. Hopefully, things would be such that we could enforce it through issuing citations and prosecuting those citations, and for whatever deterrent effect that might have on others. The degree of voluntary compliance by the public is something obviously that we can't control.
I guess
follow up
agreement with you for the most part on the need for this. But this is we've got so many laws that now that you know a lot of people don't pay attention to them because they're not being enforced. And that I guess is my main concern on this is if this would be one more law in the books that nobody would pay attention to.
Well, our field folks, I'm sure, would pay attention to this, and when it came to their attention there was a problem, they would address it. But again, in terms of law enforcement, the ability to enforce it, that depends in large measure on voluntary compliance by the public, just the nature of the thing, the limited law enforcement folks we've got out there and the you know, thousands and thousands of miles of highway.
Sure, I understand. Thank you.
I'll add some comments or some history as this as committee chair. I believe it was 2 years ago that we had this bill that was brought forth to us and was passed because of the constituencies that have complained to the representatives at that time. And it was difficult to determine how we were going to enforce that. That was one of the questions, was enforceability. And how do we make the signage and things like that, and who does the enforcement and which body of government would we go to? That's where we determined our then Speaker of the House was Matt Michaels. And I know he had a lot of complaints from the Yankton area. And then our current Speaker of the House, Tim Rave, had several complaints from the Del Rapids area. And I think it stems from the urban growing area specifically. And this is where we had to define how can we control and say the outside areas of Yankton, Vermilion, Sioux Falls. I don't think you have this much of a problem West River because of the opportunities for you to do the off-roading and off-highway vehicle uses in specific designated areas in the hills. But in the rural area, excuse me, the urban areas of Sioux Falls, Yankton, Vermilion, there's not that opportunity. So we had to make some defining clarification on that. And that's what gave, at that time, the speaker then, Matt Michaels, the opportunity to clarify letting the county commissioners or the county decide county roads which ones to control, because there was so much damage. These pictures don't even do it justice of what has really done for damage on the right-of-ways and the approaches to people's personal properties, obviously a personal property coming up to the right-of-ways. And so that's what was helpful to do that. So I think we've had that statute in place for 2 years, and it's been very successful in those areas. And I know that for a fact because I represent a lot of those areas coming out of Sioux Falls, Highway 11 going south, Highway 115 going north out of Sioux Falls, and then Highway 42 going into Brandon. These folks have these off-highway vehicles, and they want to utilize them. And so instead of trailering to the Saddleback racetrack or wherever, they ride them there. And unfortunately, it does a lot of personal property damages. And so this alleviated that, and we have seen a great improvement upon that, so we do not have that damage. So there has been a considerable amount of compliance, I should say, by the constituents, and they have respected that. I don't know how they have, if we've actually had citations of a Class 2, as Representative Russell asked, and great questions that he did ask. So I just wanted to give you as the committee members some history on this bill in the form that we had it from proposed on the county level, and now it's moving to the state level. Now, I'm representing highways coming out of Sioux Falls that all have state highways, so I definitely see the need with three state highways going in and out of Sioux Falls. So I know a lot of my constituency, this is a really common complaint in our urban areas, unfortunately. And so I think we can always come back and address it, but those are just personal comments from the chair. At this time, I'll move to committee action on House Bill 1024.
Madam Chair.
Representative Street.
Move to pass.
We have a due pass by Representative Street on House Bill 1024. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Steele seconded House Bill 1024. Any further discussion? Representative Russell.
From the standpoint of the way in which the law is presently in place, the Board of County Commissioners by ordinance can designate these particular roads. And I think that that's an appropriate way in which to handle it, from the standpoint that you have a deliberative body that sits down at an open public meeting and allows people to come in and comment on whether or not that particular stretch of road should be shut down from the standpoint of these types of vehicles. Now, the difference that I see with this particular circumstance is that you have one individual with the Department of Transportation, essentially a bureaucrat, that makes that determination. Now, as was put forth during the testimony, there's currently a process under which you can do this through the administrative procedures. And what that requires is that there be some notice and opportunity to be heard. And that's the circumstance that I think that is an appropriate venue for such an action. Now, I understand that we have highway right-of-ways and that the state controls those. But and maybe there are certain problems in the urban areas that need to be handled. But I would think that we should not curtail the opportunity of the public to participate in the determination as to whether or not to shut down the right-of-ways to these types of vehicles. And it only comes from a perspective that's rather narrow on my part, coming from a place that is essentially a rural area where apparently we just don't have these types of problems like other areas of the state. But from a standpoint of allowing the public and the people to participate in the determination, I think is one of the important hallmarks of our society, in that we don't delegate authority to people who work for the government, essentially bureaucrats, to make these decisions without having what I would perceive to be adequate input or mechanisms in place to allow the public to participate in that discussion. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion of due pass and a second on House Bill 1024? At this time, I'll have Secretary will call the vote.
Elliott?
Yes.
Ironclad?
Yes.
Cobb?
Aye.
Lang?
No.
McLaughlin?
Aye.
Northrop?
Aye.
Russell?
No.
Shrimp?
No.
Steele?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Verschio?
No.
Junkie?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye. House Bill 1024 receives a due pass from an 8-4. Excuse me, 9-4, you're right. Clarification, House Bill 1024 receives a due pass with 9-4 vote. Representative Junkie.
Not to be contrary to my chairperson, but actually our speaker is from Baltic and we have the high school government class, so I wanted to acknowledge that.
That is correct. Our current Speaker of the House is Tim Raven. He lives in the Baltic area, but also represents Del Rapids. So my clarification. Thank you for clarifying, Vice Chair. Any further comments or questions for the committee here before we move on? At this time, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Representative. Motion to adjourn by Representative Junky, seconded by?
Second.
Representative Kopp. All those in favor of adjournment for House Transportation Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Transportation adjourned.